WK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Hurricane Helene intensifies over the warm Gulf water, becoming a Category 4 storm before making landfall tonight near Florida's Big Bend region. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez in Tampa.
Already we can tell you that officials, due to high winds and storm surge, have had to shut down several major roadways and the bridges that connect much of this area to the mainland. That means that anyone who did not evacuate from mandatory evacuation zones along the coast will likely, their options are being limited.
CBS's Jason Allen is 200 miles up the Florida coast in Crawfordville, close to where Helene will make landfall.
The sheriff of this county warned people that an intersection just down the road from us could end up under 9 feet of water in a neighboring county just around the bend. The sheriff department asked people to send in their names if they were staying, their pictures, even write their names on their limbs in case there are any casualties.
The eye is off the west coast of Florida, but the rain stretches up to the Tennessee Valley. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on 5 federal charges, including bribery and wire fraud. He's accused of accepting illegal campaign donations, including those from Turkish businessmen, in exchange for political favors. Mayor Adams rejects calls to resign.
My day-to-day will not change. I will continue to do the job for 8.3 million New Yorkers that I was elected to do.
Adams will appear in federal court tomorrow at noon. U.S. and Israeli officials hold talks in New York as the Biden administration presses for a 21-day ceasefire across the Israel-Lebanon border.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says an earlier announcement about a temporary 21-day ceasefire was coordinated with Israel, even though Israel later seemed to go back on that.
Our joint statement was a clear call. It was a call for a temporary ceasefire to open up space for diplomacy to achieve a deal that allows civilians on both sides of the border to return to their homes safely and securely.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later said his country will continue to strike Hezbollah with full force. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky meets separately today with President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. President Biden announces a new $8 billion military aid package for Ukraine. Zelensky saying,
"We have to keep pressure on Russia to stop the war and to make truly lasting and just peace."
Former President Donald Trump says he'll meet with Zelensky in New York City tomorrow. Special counsel Jack Smith files his evidence in the criminal election interference case against former President Trump, but it remains under seal. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Marathon County District Attorney is investigating the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot drop box into his office Sunday. Meanwhile, good government groups are also considering their legal options. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
I want to give them an opportunity at the local level to be able to resolve the situation, but I can tell you that I've already started to speak with some attorneys about what are the options that are on the table.
Mayor Doug Dinney and other city leaders disagree whether what he did was legal. The Better Business Bureau says scammers are posing as investment brokers. Spokeswoman Lisa Schiller says victims have lost a lot of money hoping for big returns. She says anyone you don't know who wants your money for a so-called sure thing is likely just trying to rip you off. As usual, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Milwaukee Brewers are officially the third seed in the National League. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Los Angeles and Philadelphia both winning Wednesday, the Brewers are now locked in and will play in next week's wild card round. The Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 this afternoon and will finish up with the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time.
We have a plan every day. Obviously, that's dictated by our medical staff in terms of how much he can do. And, so we'll just hopefully keep building them up every day.
Love says he's feeling better each time out. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced former player Junior Bridgman as a significant minority owner of the team today. Bridgman will have about a 10% stake in the franchise. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 60. And mostly sunny for tomorrow with a wind off the lake, we'll look for highs in the mid-70s. A mix of sun and clouds and a slight shower chance this weekend. Again, a breeze off the lake keeps highs in the low 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, the Brewers head into the final regular season series this weekend as we look ahead to next week's opening round of the Major League Baseball postseason.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our guest, Robert Lilligren, on here, who's the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we want to maybe listen. Do we have the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, with an energy update? And let's take a quick listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I was proud to proclaim this week National Clean Energy Week as we celebrate and highlight the work we're doing as a state to build a clean energy economy here in Wisconsin. This work has included joining the U.S. Climate Alliance in 2019 and establishing our goal to be 100% carbon free by 2050. We also created the Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy and released the state's first ever clean energy plan. This plan provides a roadmap for the state to lower energy bills and prices at the pump for Wisconsin families, promote energy independence by reducing reliance on out-of-state energy sources, create an estimated more than 40,000 jobs by 2030, and invest in job training and apprenticeship programs in innovative industries and technologies. Through these efforts, we're supporting green jobs, bolstering the health of our state, ensuring the clean, sustainable future Wisconsinites deserve. And this week, I was glad to join the U.S. Climate Alliance in announcing our new Climate Ready Workforce Initiative. This initiative will grow career pathways in climate and clean energy fields and jointly train 1 million new registered apprentices across the country by 2035. This is all part of my work as the first governor in the Midwest to join the executive team of the U.S. Climate Alliance, which is a bipartisan coalition of 24 governors all committed to confronting the climate crisis. Folks, we shouldn't have to choose between mitigating climate change and protecting our environment and good jobs and economic development, and these efforts are proof that we can do both. Happy National Clean Energy Week, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Governor. Hey, Robert, we have prayers out to our relatives in Florida, and it almost really kind of matches what Governor Evers said. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that news out of Florida, just before I saw the headlines of the news, just before I sat down here, and they're calling it unsurvivable water surge.
Yeah, 20 feet. And in some places, and What part was that again, Haley? We were talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, it looks like it's heading up north, like northern Florida, towards the Panhandle and Pensacola a bit more.
Yeah. And, you know, I got the TV on, and Wendy and I have relatives that live in Florida, and so our prayers are out to them. And it's interesting, too, that what Governor Evers had to say, because a lot of this, having these 100-year, you know, tropical storms every 2 years.
Right.
Is really something's amiss here.
Yeah, I think we should maybe change that title to 100 year. When I was on Minneapolis City Council, I know we'd plan for the 50-year rain event and the 100-year rain event, but that time has been collapsing considerably over the last decade or so, and this is just kind of the way it is, right? It's going to be like this. And those Gulf states, you know, a lot of them are sort of technically actually underwater, and yet we continue to kind of promote them as land, and they're not really. And yeah, things are changing faster than I thought they would. And Robert, we're about the same age. And so I remember back even in, you know, maybe second grade in the mid-60s, we were already talking about this, right? We knew this was coming. You know, I guess somewhere in my naivete, I thought we'd figure it out before we got here, but here we are.
What was interesting, if I remember right, we were looking for an ice age when we were younger, but we were talking about climate change.
Right.
And things have really sped up in the heating up of the planet in our lifetime, for sure. We're roughly the same age.
Yep. So we'll see, right? Are we going to be smart enough and willing, politically willing, to make the changes we need to make? Or is this just our norm? Is this our new normal?
Yeah. Yeah. Prayers out to our relatives in Florida.
Sure.
Jeez. You know, and it just doesn't seem that long ago that we were talking about New Orleans and them being below sea level too, you know?
Yep. Right. And I agree. All the best. I have in-laws that live down there. Since the storm, Helen veered a little more to the north, they're not as threatened, but they'll feel it. And then it's a response and recovery that we all share in, right? Whether that's through the federal support for the communities that are hit, through the insurance. And it's a place where we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will lead to sort of more of a sense of that this is a collective struggle and a collaborative response.
Well, not to be Debbie Downer, but, you know, Project 2025 would not give any of our relatives in Florida any help. You know, that's what I've been seeing kind of posted out there about Project 2025 when the storm's coming into Florida, that if it was happening, we would not be helping our neighbors.
Right. So, you know, knock wood, there we go. You know, we'll never see the implementation of Project 2025, and we'll move forward as a more united people after November 5th and after the new administration is sworn in.
Right on. Hey, I want to get to some important news here before we move any further, and I want to talk about pickles.
Oh, no, yeah.
I saw you were one of the judges. Let's tell our listening audience what went down today. I'm in New York, and I wish I was there.
Oh, so Haley was there, so she wants to win as well. But through our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, we do food sovereignty work. We have an urban farm, and then we have a glorious farmer's market every Thursday, Four Sisters Farmer's Market. And this year, for I think the fourth year, possibly the third, we had a pickle contest, a pickle-off, where people from the community bring their pickled products and we judge them. And there's a winner in the dill category and a winner in the special category, so sweet, bread and butter, those other kinds of pickles. And so I was a judge for the second time, and it was just a great event. People love it. The community really turns out for it. They're into it, and it's a lot of fun. And it also lifts up the importance of being able to be in control of our food, right? And our food streams and how to preserve food and healthy food. And so it just kind of ties it all together, but it was a lot of fun. What did you think, Haley?
Oh, I mean, this, I always look forward to a market day on Thursday at the Four Sisters Market, but something about the pickle off, the pickle contest every year, something I look forward to. And, you know, we had different people enter this year, and I know Destiny actually won her pickles.
Won the dill category, yep.
Yeah, those were so good. It had a little spice to it. And, you know, it's always cool when a fellow Ho-Chunk gets a win in there.
Yeah.
That's and then awesome. Dr. Hyde or Dr. Erdrich in our community won with her bread and butter pickles, which I don't usually like bread and butter pickles, but I told Dr. Erdrich, I said, I really like yours. And she said, yeah, I flip a lot of people.
Well, I think our next segment is going to be called Pickles and Politics. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilligren. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, and we were talking about politics and pickles, and I want to finish up on the pickles. You had a Ring of Honor football player as one of the judges, too, it looked like.
Who was that?
Joey Browner.
Oh, okay.
He's a former Vikings Ring of Honor, one of the greatest players that ever played in the Vikings in the 80s.
Okay, so late I did 70s. Not know that about Joey. He's around NACTI a lot and around the Powell Grounds Coffee Shop, so we see him a lot and just sort of accept him as a member of the local community, and I never knew that. He must be very humble about that achievement.
Yeah, and it's funny, he and his brothers played in the NFL, so that was kind of amazing family back in the day. And I've seen him take over games as a defensive safety like no other. So it's
really always amazing for me to see him at the Four Sisters Market and around the community.
Great. No, good to know. Oh, and just a quick correction about the show that's currently at All My Relations Arts Gallery, the Arika Proper, Jay White's incredible show. So it was scheduled to close first week of October, but it's been extended to October 19th. So people have until October 19th, to come down and see the show. It is so powerful. And I really encourage folks to stop by All My Relations Arts, the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
We'll have to make a note of that when we do our bumpers. That's an amazing news flash. And so was there anything else we want to finish up on the pickles, or was there any more categories?
Well, this isn't pickles. But again, that was great. And the Four Sisters Farmers Market will continue to run for several more weeks. So if folks are in the city, I encourage you to come down on Thursdays, 11 to 3. Enjoy the market. And then I was charged with telling you, Robert and Haley, that through our partnership with Make Boating a Tradition, with MBAT, we call it, which is a Native American Community Development Institute project, maybe 10 years old, that year-round encourages Native people to be engaged in the political process, policymaking, and of course, with a major election so close, that's really where we're focused. And one of the MBAT strategies is to generate a lot of good bling, because our community loves bling, and it gives us an opportunity to engage with voters, potential voters. So one of the pieces of bling are pet bandanas. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of this, but they're charming. People love them. And they make great content for social media and photos. So we had a new batch of pet bandanas printed up, and we inadvertently used the file from our partnership with our tote bags. We're a partnership between Make Voting a Tradition and Native Roots Radio. So what? The new design of the pet bandanas says in partnership with Native Roots Radio.
Nice.
So we're giving you a little bit of free advertising there.
That's no awesome. Charge. That's
thank
awesome.
You.
Haley, did you pick me up a couple of those?
I didn't get a chance to sneak into the office today, but you know, I will.
I heard rumors you have the code too there, Haley, too.
Oh, shh.
It's not that exclusive of a group. Sorry to tell you.
Oh. Well, Bobby P here doesn't have one, but that's probably on purpose. But hey, we were listening to the show prior, and the orange one was using emmers as how was that, Haley? He was using emmers
stand-in for Walls.
I thought, what the heck? This is the upside down world for sure.
Oh, right. Well, you can see, you know, they're both Minnesotan. They're probably about the same age. I think that's very interesting. And then Governor Waltz is using Pete Buttigieg as the stand-in for J.D. Vance in his debate prep. So I guess Buttigieg's been around town. I haven't seen him.
What?
He's been here doing a prep with Waltz when he's here. And I am really looking forward to this debate and just seeing these candidates side by side and seeing how they kind of play to the American people, the American voter.
You know, of all the politicians, I think Pete Buttigieg would be the one I'd really want to meet. He's brilliant, and he goes to Fox TV and tells them what's up. It's he's brilliant, and hopefully someday. Yeah.
I love it. He's fearless, right? He'll go into the belly of the beast and say what needs to be said. I appreciate that about him. You know, when he was first picked as the Secretary of Transportation, I thought, is he the right guy? He's kind of young. You know, he has a municipal background, which I like. He's a mayor, former mayor. But I thought, is this the spot for him? And I think he has just performed brilliantly. Not just in the fact that he'll call out people's BS when he needs to, but he knows the local issues around transportation. And I'm kind of a transportation policy wonk, and I've just been really pleased with his performance.
Yeah, I'm always, I was when the debates years ago when he was running for president, when we first met Pete, and of course it took me a few months to be able to say his last name correctly, but that's another show and another story.
Right. Yeah. You're kind of plagued with mispronunciations. Yeah. Robert. It's your thing.
Yeah. There used to be a comedian when we were a kid that did that. I'll have to shoot you a message of who that was, but when you see the name, what he was known for, but he did his on purpose. I don't do mine on purpose.
He was an early role model of yours.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're really excited. What are your plans for the debate? And it's going to be another landslide here debate, I'm sure.
Fingers crossed. And I haven't made plans yet, but I'll probably invite a few of my political friends over and we'll watch and scream at the TV like we did with that Harris-Trump debate where she just triumphed, you know.
Oh.
And, I'm hoping for great things. You know, we're so close to Election Day.
Mm.
A lot of the news, and I don't quite get this, but they're talking about how Harris is still having to introduce herself to the voters. It's like, really? Really, that's how you're going to frame it. She's been our vice president for almost 4 years, but for some reason she has to introduce herself. You know, and I don't quite get that. I
mean, well,
bit of a bias there.
Don't get me started on the mass media again, or the, you know, it's just they've normalized Trump so much the last 10 years. It's just sickening, and you still see him on the news with Harris, and it's like Harris is speaking the truth and he's lying and they don't really call him on it. It's disheartening.
I agree. And now there's all this stuff coming forward about Trump's son-in-law and his unsavory dealings. And where's the media outrage on that, right? And if his name were Hunter Biden.
Or emails.
Right.
Or the emails.
You know, we would be the headline news, right? First, mm-hmm. you know, top story of every night. It's like, come on, let's see a little bit of equity in how these issues are covered.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's why it's great in all seriousness to have our discussion, whether it's once a week or once every couple of weeks when you're able to come on, is because we can have like a nice conversation about reality, I guess, and not have to give Trump any kind of 50% of the airwaves because he doesn't deserve it. And, you know, it's just, it's good for us to talk and to get it out there and talk real.
I enjoy it. And, you know, I think people are paying attention, you know, as we saw, you know, these polls kind of move at the pace that they move. But even from the first that Harris entered the race, there were just these kind of underpinnings, right? And you see these things, what is it? Trump is ahead, I'm sorry, Harris is ahead of Trump with women voters, with youth voters by like 31% over, you know, Trump. And now I just saw the statistic with women voters, it's like 70%. And so, you know, maybe they seem close in these national polls, and maybe they are, but as you see this momentum building sort of under those statistics, I am hopeful. We have to do our work. We have to count every single vote that we can, and we'll see.
Well, I agree. I think it's going to be a landslide, but still we're under the electoral vote, so we need, when we talk to our friends in Wisconsin, and we're broadcast every day in Wisconsin too, is that we just need three people in each district to put them over.
I love it.
And that just, so your vote does count.
It does count. What statistic did I just see? That I think Harris is leading by 6 or 7 points in Wisconsin right now. So there's those three people, right? In every precinct that we need. And I just read a story about Vice President Harris, hopefully soon President Harris.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report in Florida. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Helene is a Category 4 storm now 80 miles west-southwest of Cedar Key. It's expected to make landfall tonight. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
All those areas there along the Big Bend coast and in areas that are low-lying, that are susceptible to potentially major storm surge, you're under an evacuation order.
CBS's Manuel Bohorquez is drenched in Tampa.
The Tampa Bay area is getting battered right now. What we have noticed that is significant is that the water that has been lapping up over this seawall here is not going back into the bay. It is accumulating here. So this is the beginning of the expected storm surge, that 5 to 8 feet.
Crystal River is forecasted to have 20 feet of storm surge, which is considered unsurvivable. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Milwaukee man faces felony charges of animal mistreatment after authorities found more than 50 dead dogs at his former home in August. Michael Ellis is free on a signature bond. Expect a bigger funding request for public education in Wisconsin soon. State School Superintendent Jill Underlies says her next spending request should be finished by mid-November. In the meantime, 103 local districts are holding funding referendums this year.
I feel for our communities. They're being forced to, you know, have neighbor versus neighbor and deciding whether they're going to fund their schools. So I believe that there is a strong appetite, you know, to make sure that the legislature funds our schools.
Underlie gave her annual State of Education speech Thursday. Among other things, she's calling for the state to double its reimbursement for local special education costs. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the movies this weekend? Here are a few options that hit the big screen. First up, it's the highly anticipated The Wild Robot. If you love movies about robots that get stranded on deserted islands, then The Wild Robot is your film. The story follows the adventures of Roz, a robot who has to endure harsh conditions after being stranded on the island and befriending a gosling. As you can imagine, it's a family-friendly film. The critics are raving about it. It's currently pulling a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Francis Ford Coppola's 40-year, $100 million project Megalopolis also hits the big screen in wide release this weekend, but to uneven reviews. The legendary director's passion project is pulling about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it's graphic horror you're in the mood for, check out the Demi Moore film's The Substance. The film explores trying to make a better version of yourself by using, you guessed it, The Substance. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 60. And mostly sunny for tomorrow with a wind off the lake. We'll look for highs in the mid-70s. A mix of sun and clouds and a slight shower chance this weekend. Again, a breeze off the lake keeps highs in the low 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins us talking about Trump's appeal of his $464 million civil case, and he'll chime in on SDNY's case against New York City Mayor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're talking pickles, politics, and bikes now. And that sounds like a great event.
Yeah, three things that are very important to me, all three of those. as you guys know, I'm a bike commuter, right?
That's right.
I'm really thrilled about this bike tour. I was talking to Gloria, our farm manager, about the tour, and it's just going to be fascinating and really feature some of the urban agriculture going on right around within and around the Native community.
Wow, that does sound great. You guys just do so much, and you know, I never really realized that until you came on the radio show how much Native American Community Development Institute does. It's just amazing.
I appreciate that observation, and you know, we're kind of the hub, right, of a lot of activity. So one of our sayings at NACD is use other people's resources. So, you know, we may be the originator, the convener, the organizer of an event, but it's really the communities. And so how we get the community engaged. And then really, in a lot of ways, we're a systems change organization, right? And so we stay really authentically grounded within the communities through things like Four Sisters Farmers Market, our farm, the Spike Tour, All My Relations Arts, our Make Boating a Tradition. And then we often occupy this very risky space between community and non-Native institutions, organizations, in policy work, boardroom work, even in just educating non-Native organizations and institutions about how to relate to Native people in a respectful way and engage with the community. And so I love the work.
How long have you been CEO?
You're not going to believe this, but it was 8 years in May.
Wow, that's I can't long.
It has been.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's how it's weird. That's how long. I think Dr. Stately's been with Native American Native Clinic, and that's how long we've been on the air. So something was in the air during there. That was like Standing Rock was happening, and the seven fires went everywhere. And I feel like we're part of that, really.
I agree. That was pivotal, right? Standing Rock. It showed us that we can embrace history to move forward. For me, it had a profound impact on my professional approach and my life in general. And I think that might have been pivotal, because now you see, you know, with young people like Haley and others coming up, it's kind of a different vibe. And last week I had the privilege to be part of a convening of Minnesota Native Arts Organizations. And we were convened by First Peoples Fund, which is now headed by NACD's first CEO, Justin Heeneman. And so we brought the Minnesota funded orgs together for some incredible conversation. And I just, you know, in my old man kind of way, I was just talking about how it's so different right now. And the experience that we shared, Robert, with the Metropolitan Council, our regional government's American Indian Advisory Council, which you were part of, and that report back, and just how much interest and energy there is at the policymaker level, at the staff level, to do stuff based on that report. It's so different. I mean, after 30 years in this public policy game of just banging my head against the wall for years and being kind of the only one pushing this, and all of a sudden to feel that wall move a little, it's a different day.
Yeah. I just have to commend you and Allison with the Met Council stuff. I'm so glad to be on that committee and learn so much about what the Met Council does. Because when you learn what they do, you can fit in and figure out what your role is. And it's so important. So big peeny geegy to you and Allison.
I take your thanks, but really, Allison Walkow, the staffer that we hired, was pivotal, right? Instrumental in moving this. She was incredible. And really, it's the work of the advisory council and the fact that those voices were centered. It wasn't so much about the Met Council. It was really about you, the Native people, sitting at the table in the center circle and in moving that along. And at this arts convening that I was part of last week, you know, I just said, this is a different day. We're in a different day. And so, you know, as leadership, how do we leverage this kind of new vibe? And then that was kind of picked up as a theme. A lot of people are like, yeah, this is a different day. We're in a different day than we were 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. And so, let's make as much progress, right? What's the football? And as we move the ball down the field as far as we can while we can.
Well, you know, I really feel like there's a book that you need to write about this, because in all seriousness, since you've been around leadership, there's been so much change, but you also said it took a long time to get the change going too. And as a city council member and all these organizations that you're involved with right now, it's amazing. And I hope we do you justice here on Native Roots Radio, and that our listeners really understand the movement that's happened.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's not me, right? It's the community moving forward. But even just like last night, I was privileged to address a class of law students at St. Thomas Law School here in Minneapolis, and it's their ethics and leadership class. And this is the fourth year now that I've been able to address them, and to see these young, mostly non-native, mostly white, but not all, law students who just kind of get it, and they pay attention, and they want to know more and how to be supportive. And, you know, even with many more non-native audiences, you can do some really important truth telling. Talk about genocide, talk about forced removal, talk about forced assimilation, and impacts on today of all of that. And they can hear it. And not that long ago, I know when I would talk to non-native groups, as soon as he got to that part, the kind of icky truth-telling part, the genocide part, they would just shut down. I mean, you could literally see it, whether it was a classroom or a large auditorium, you could just see it shut down. And they don't shut down anymore. And I think that's testament to a lot of people's good work, that we've prepared the way. You know, we can do better, but we have to have this truth-telling. We have to own our historic roles. And more than our historic roles, really, the benefits that some of us receive today because of genocide, forced assimilation, forced removal, and the trauma that we experience today because of those same things. And I just feel like people are ready to have those conversations.
Yeah, it's amazing. Haley and I have been to the University of Minnesota and talked about media to a class, mm-hmm. and I've done that a few times. And the conversation really switches from media to what's happened to the Native community over the last 400 or 500 years. And they are open. And that's why I'm so hopeful with Gen Z and organizations like you to open the door for people like that. It's just an amazing time to be alive right now.
It is. And I agree. And I think what it's important for non-Native people, and if you want to call them the colonizers or settler culture or whatever, is to understand this isn't history to us, right? This is today. And to this group of law students last night, I was co-presenting with an executive from Neighborhood Development Center, an incredible organization that supports entrepreneurialism in grassroots community and primarily BIPOC communities. And she's Black, right? And so that was kind of one of the points we were trying to express is, it's comfortable that it's in a historical context, but for Black people, for Native people, this is today. We are still living with this each and every day. It's not history.
Right, yeah. And boy, we could just drop the mic on that statement right there. We were talking to a guest a couple days ago about how everybody that's our age and Haley's age, we have relatives that have been affected by you know, boarding schools and things that are, you know, trying to remove us. And
still are, and it still affects us. It isn't ancient history, you know, and that's where the term "we're still here" comes from.
Right. Yep, you're exactly right. And I don't know if you know Jewel Arkin. She's a Dakota elder. But one thing she says, and I've started saying this too, I've learned it from her, but she will say in a very open way, every Native person alive on Turtle Island is the survivor of a genocide. We're all survivors of a genocide. And that's a hard thing to say. And it's a hard thing to hear.
Yeah.
And people need to hear it. And I will tell you, when I say that to non-Native groups, it has a palpable and profound impact.
Exactly. Yeah. We're still here and we're still struggling and we're, but I feel movement. And, you know, we've joked over the years on and off the air about how, you know, you were a junior or I was a junior when we could practice our own religion, you know.
Right.
I mean, we're not that old, are we? I guess we're old, but.
We're old enough. You know, that was always kind of the rub, right? So I think non-Native people think, yeah, we're a country founded on religious freedom. And then when they learn that we're actually a country founded on stealing religious freedoms from the indigenous people, well, that's a little perception bump, right? So, So I think the more we can lift those stories up, you know, especially to non-Native people, the more we're creating an environment of change.
Absolutely. Hey, we got a minute left, Robert. Let's just go over a couple things that we want to put out there. Talk about the bike, and we got a minute in honor of Wendy. Wendy always told me, ask Robert what he wants to talk about. And here you 30 seconds.
Robert, I'm always happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. I like the way we bounce from the most local to sort of national conversations. You know, we have, I guess my final message would be, we have a very important election coming up. Vote. Make sure that you're registered to vote. There's a lot of shenanigans going on in some states, pulling people off voter rolls. I'll remind folks in Minnesota, we have same-day registration. And to your point about bringing, you know, three people in each precinct can make a difference, make arrangements with two friends for all three of you to vote together.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Robert Lilgren. We'll be talking to you soon. And always great to have you on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Native Roots Radio, up next, Haley and I. We'll be right back after this short break.
Lusa Nation.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Join NACD Native American Community Development Institute's Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program and East Phillips Improvement Coalition on Saturday, September 28th from noon to 4 p.m. for an urban farm bike tour through the Phillips neighborhood. Learn more about the important food sovereignty work happening in the community, connect with neighbors, and share a meal made from the collective abundance of locally grown food. We will be stopping at four urban farms, ending with a shared meal made from locally harvested seasonal foods. The tour will be led by Venture Bikes, who will offer bikes to borrow or help tuning up your bike before the ride. This event is free and family-friendly. Registration is required, so sign up now at nacd.org/events. That's nacd.org/events.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I don't know. Pickles, howling, there's all these things that kind of just make me chuckle.
Me too. Always a good laugh. Yeah. Man, I missed you at the Four Sisters Farmers Market today.
Wow. When you guys were talking, I got FOMO. And, You know, I love it here in New York, and I'll be here for a week on some governmental business, but also some tomfoolery. And so, but I'll miss, there's a lot of things going on that's coming up, Haley. You know, we got the orange T-shirt day coming up, and that's going to be amazing. But I'll be here, and that's talked about all over Turtle Island. So maybe here in New York, they'll have something I can glob onto when it comes to our relatives that have passed on in these residential schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation is Monday, September 30th. And I know that there's going to be something held at the Capitol that morning. I believe it's for an ICWA law. But yeah, it's really just protecting our children and remembering what our ancestors, well, and people that are still alive today. It didn't happen that long ago. Boarding schools and residential schools had to go through. And like we were talking in the last segment, everyone we know, any Native person has been affected or has known someone or has a relative that went to boarding school. So it really has affected everyone.
Well, I've heard a story from one of my uncles, and he talked about Helen, who's your great-grandma and my grandma, Helen McKee, who was in a boarding school, and Howard McKee Jr., which was her father, basically kidnapped her out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like horrific things like that have happened for generations. And, you know, when you're abused as a young person like that in these boarding schools, it's hard to show love. It's hard to do a lot of things that, you know, we take for granted and families take for granted, and language, culture, who they are. How do you fit in this world? So it just runs deep, and it goes generational too. I know it's affected a lot of our relatives that weren't in boarding school, but were their DNA and how they were raised.
Exactly. Yep. So September 30th, Orange Shirt Day, also known, or I guess the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, also known as Orange Shirt Day. September 30th.
I made sure I brought an orange shirt here to New York.
Good.
Yeah. Well, hey, I got to just say this, and I was talking to Wendy during break, and it was just like, we should have kept Robert on another segment. I love having him on, and it's great talking about things and bouncing from conversation to conversation. he's got to have a lot of windows open on his computer, not knowing what I'm going to talk to him about. But he does great, and he's so full of information and knowledge for his work that he's worked in the community for so long. And I wanted to talk about this, but I didn't get a chance to. But just about how their work is set up at Native American Community Development Institute, where they put themselves first, their family second, and work third. And that's so anti-colonial and also a good, healthy way to live.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole NACD crew, it's like anytime we're over there or, you know, in their space or at an event with them, you can just kind of tell everyone is, you know, happy. It's just different. And I think it has to go with how things are set up and ran by Robert.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because the first thing I thought was, like, they really have true boundaries, too, and don't overlap in what they do. And I don't know why I thought of that, but that's so healthy.
You know?
It really is, you know, when you want to talk to about what's going on here or whatever, and if it's not what fits into their work, they'll tell us we'll have to talk to somebody. And that creates positiveness, no rumors, and on and on and on. I just look up to that organization, really. The more and more I learn it, even though I don't have that code to get in the door like you do.
Another FOMO thing for me.
Yeah.
That was so funny, too, when Robert was talking about the judges for the pickle contest, and you had mentioned Joey Browner, who who played for the Vikings, and he had no idea, because Joey is always at the Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And even when I was there today, I got to sit down with Joey Browner and Minneapolis Fire Chief David Carson, and we just chatted for an hour and a half about life. And I always forget to ask Joey this, but like, what his tribal affiliation is, because I just never, I guess, knew. But I had to do some research before the show today, and I actually ended up on late Henry Boucher's website looking for some info on Joey Browner. But this interview of Henry talking about the Minnesota Vikings players with Native American roots, here's what he said about Sam Bradford. Do you remember when Sam was the quarterback for the Vikings?
Number eight.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Henry, this is quote. So the interview question was, what does Henry Boucher, Minnesota's most famous Native American athlete, think about Sam Bradford? Should the Vikings star quarterback talk about his Cherokee roots? And I didn't even know Sam Bradford had roots in.
Yeah,
I didn't know. So I learned that also.
Mm-hmm.
But Henry replied, and he said, oh, it would be wonderful, said Henry Boucher, sitting last week at 5 Watt Coffee in Minneapolis. This interview, I have to mention, was back in 2016. Mm-hmm. He said that people don't even know Bradford is part Cherokee because he doesn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. People don't just talk about it. It's the same with former Vikings safety Joey Browner. He's black, but he's half Indian from Ohio. And when he was growing up, the Indians were so undeservedly targeted for being Indian that Joey's mother and dad said, don't tell anyone you're Indian, just say you're black and you'll get through. So now he's come out as half Indian. And Henry said Joey was a good friend of his.
Yeah, well, I've seen Joey Browner at the drum at different powwows. I've seen him sing. And again, when you tell a story about their parents like that, that's part of our trauma too, is, you know, hiding, don't whistle at night, these things that are there to protect us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you look Italian, Haley, so maybe you should say you're Italian and not Native.
No, right? This is actually a thing. So when I was in elementary school, quick story here, we got about a minute left, but I went to Mexico on a family vacation. And at the time, my dad didn't talk too much about the Native history, because at that time he wasn't, you know, so proud of it. But went to Mexico, got a really good tan, came back really dark. And all of my classmates asked if I was Mexican. And at this point, I knew I was Native, but it, you know, wasn't cool. No one else was Native. So I was like, yeah, I think I'm Mexican.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say Italian. That's funny.
No.
Hey. Great show as always, Haley. Thank you for everything you do. I want to thank Robert Lilligren for coming on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. And remember to register and vote.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.